Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. Whatever you call me a child of God, and I am sure to answer. But praise God, I want to make sure that before we go into our wonderful lesson for tonight, that we always, always, always acknowledge those of you that are listening in for the very first time. And so if this is your very first time, I thank whoever invited you, praise God, and I hope that you will listen again. Our goal is to educate, to empower, and to encourage you. And so we want to make sure that we always give an encouraging word. We try to make sure that we give a word from God on high to make sure that you leave in a better state of mind than you started with. And then we want to make sure that we educate you, that we give you a topic. It may not be something brand new, but it is something different that you may not have thought about or may want to get more information. And so we want to make sure that you are always educated in the things of God. And then the last but not least, we want you to be empowered. We want you to know, praise God, what God would require of you to do to make the necessary changes in your life. And then not stop there, but empower someone else to give them an opportunity to see and be what God will have them to be. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that have been with me for 8 years, can you believe that? 8 years. 8 years is a long time. And I'm so grateful that God has blessed me to be in this vein. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the prayers and the support that each of you that have been listening with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, the whole 8 years, I just thank God for you because you keep me motivated. You keep me encouraged. You keep me wanting to study more and to do more so that I can rightly divide God's word, to be empowered to do the things that God has called me to do, and then empower you to do the things that God has called you to do. So I thank you, thank you, thank you for your support, your prayers, text messages, calls, and even those of you that just send me a little something on the side. Amen. I thank you, thank you, thank you for all your support. But most importantly, I want to make sure that I always, always, always give major credit and shout outs to the Omega Ministry Group, which is led by Tammy and Jesse Stewart. Without them, I would not have known this was a vein for me. And I don't know that I would have even pursued it if I knew. But they gave me a platform and pushed me out there and have been supporting me ever since. And so I will always, always, always be grateful for them and give them a major shout out. And so the biggest, biggest praise and shout out we have to give on tonight. I always try to make sure that I acknowledge my new listeners. I always make sure I listen. Give a shout out to those that, that listen faithfully, and of course to the Omega Ministry Group. But I want to make sure that we always, always, always give the greatest and the biggest praise to God, because without Him, none of us would be possible, and what we're doing now wouldn't even be possible. And so we always start with an upbeat song. I give your acknowledgments, and then we go to God in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up with your precious gifts of life. We thank you, Father, for the confidence and the boldness to speak your word. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your word so that we can be bold, that we can study it to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide your word and to divide the word of truth. We thank you, Father, that there's no lies, there's no discrepancies. Everything that you put in your word is there for our benefit and our growth. And so we thank you, and we thank you, Father, that you just didn't stop there. You gave us the Holy Spirit on top of your word to give us the best part of the revelation of the word and then to put it into action. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you laid out for us so that we could be, as we say, Christ-like, that we would know what that means and how to carry that out. And so we just thank you, Father. But to even say to be Christ-like, we have to thank you for the blood of Jesus, our Jesus Christ that came for us and paid the penalties of sin so that we could stand toe-to-toe with the adversary that we will talk on tonight. So, Father, I just thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have enough tongues, don't have enough hands to raise and praise and clap or feet to stomp and shout how grateful I am that you have given me this platform and that you've given me an hour of power to share your goodness, to share your glory, and to give your people what they need on tonight. So, Father, remove me and let you become visible and use my lips, use my mind, use my heart, Father. And, Father, if you can, allow my passion to show through the line on tonight so that they can see how moved and how excited I am about sharing this topic so that they too can have the power operate and the power and authority that you give with confidence and boldness. So again, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. We can't say enough about you, Father, but I have to stop so we can get into your lesson. So I just thank you, Father, for being the vine and allowing us to be your branches, because as long as we stick to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we could do nothing. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. If you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio. where I'm very excited to share on the topic tonight. Now, normally I reserve the month of October to talk about the adversary, but praise God, because of some things, I believe God wants us to go a little further. And so one of the things that I have always, always shared, you know, in the 8 years that I've been on the broadcast, how I was afraid of the enemy. I was completely paralyzed by what I thought he could do to me or what he had told me he was going to do to me if I had studied and got myself at a level where I felt like I was comfortable enough to be sharing the things of God. And so I was always afraid of the dark, and I was always afraid that he was going to reveal himself to shut me up and to sit me down. And in many respects, he kind of did, because I was very particular not to grow too far or not to speak too much, because I felt that this enemy, whatever that was, the big, shiny, dark man that in the movies and all, was going to grab me and capture me for whatever reason. And I'm so grateful that God thought enough of me to allow me to go through spiritual training, spiritual warfare training at that, to allow me to understand that all this stuff that I had sold into my heart from TV and movies and books and all these things in this world system that took my mind off of who the enemy really was. And so how I was told, the enemy could be Denzel Washington for all we know. I'm not saying that it is Denzel Washington, but we're looking for this gruesome, scary, monstrous thing. And the enemy is so cunning and so deceitful. He doesn't have to be scary to entice you and entangle you. He can be fine, and he can be lovely and sweet and beautiful and have you deceived and have you on a platform that you ain't never, ever, 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 ever thought that you would be that far away from the things of God. And so tonight my goal is to help you understand. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about who he is and what he does and all that. But tonight, I think God wants us to understand that we need to perfect our script. And so it was interesting in my studies. One of the topics in one of the books that I was reading, it said rehearsing your script. And it made me think about I'm doing a play. And so I'm doing a play with these wonderful people. And one of the things that's most important is that we learn our scripts. And we learn our scripts because it makes it easier for the other person to bring in their cues, for us to be on cue, and for whatever the author put together for these lines or storyline actually is conveyed the way that God placed in her heart for it to go forward. And so if I don't do my part, then it stumbles the next person from doing their part. And then if they're stumbling from doing their part, then either it can take away from the play altogether, or it can cause other people to have challenges and situations where we have a mess. And mainly, I'm sure that we've all seen movies and TV shows and radio scripts and actual plays where people just didn't know their lines. And when you don't know your lines, there is bound to be confusion in you, to have confusion. And that's very much true in our livelihood. If we don't work on our script, if we don't make sure that we do the things that God has called us to do, then praise God, we will mess up. And so when we're talking about a script, I like that the script is a root word for scripture. Amen. I can shout right there because God is so amazing how he puts things together. Long before we were even created, he had definitions to words, and he put things into practice and things into motion that we do on a daily basis and not realize that God has put all this together for our understanding so that we can have a visual understanding. We can have something tangible that we can really kind of grasp what he's trying to convey to us when he wants us to be the people that he's designed for us to be. And so on tonight, like I said, since God kind of gave me perfecting your script, it's basically perfecting the scripture that you have hidden in your, or at least you should have hidden in your heart, so that you understand the power and authority that you have over the enemy when he comes as a roaring lion as he does. And so tonight I want to make sure that I read somewhere that there are five scriptures that you really need to have in your war chest as weapons to help you when you're overcoming the attacks of the enemy. Now, these are not the only five scriptures, of course, but these are the five main scriptures that you need to understand what it is when you're going through something that the enemy is trying to bring you down and take you away from the sight of God. And so, as I was saying, as far as understanding the script that we're all living, is that if we understand that God is the master writer, if you will, he is the one that designed everything. And so he knows the characters, which of course would be us and the enemy, and all the other wonderful people that we read about in the Bible. And I am just crazy enough to believe that I know my name's in the Bible, but I believe if there was another Bible written, I would want to be in it because I want to do my part so that my life could show as a witness to somebody else, praise God. So we forget that just because the main Bible is written, we walk out our witness and we walk out another testimony that people see. Sometimes people will never see a Bible, but your life should represent what you study and what you put in you. So if you master and perfect your script, amen, then praise God, you're working on the scripture that God has placed in your heart. You will walk out that life that God has designed for you because he has put together your scene. He has put together the platform where you'll perform. He's going to make sure that all the people that are supposed to be in the company of your play, if you will, the stadium and the organization or wherever you're going to actually, I just love how God lines this up. He knew as treacherous as it was for me to grow up without parents, he knew that that would be a platform in my play to help me to be a little bit more focused and depend on him. He knew that every time I survived a car accident and every time I was told I was having a heart attack or a stroke and I survived, he knew all of those pieces was into play. Now, I don't know which act I'm in. I just know that the end needs to be that I have, he can tell me that I have been a well and faithful steward over his material, over his script. And so we all want to make sure that we're striving to do what God has called us to do. And so in order for us to do that, we have to know our script. And so when we confess or say our script, we are confessing the word of God. And when we confess the word of God, then we have to know why we need to do that. And so I think sometimes we read the Bible and we study the Bible, but we don't really take heart or take note what it's really doing to us physically. One of the things that I read was when we talk about the enemy and how he his whole design is to hinder us from our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if we really understood what that meant, our mind, our will, and our emotions. What is that? That is our soul. He wants our soul. And so he's going to work with your mind. He's going to work with your will, and he's going to work on your emotions. And so if you don't protect your entities, praise God, you will be tripped up and you will fall into the temptations that he has for you. And so we're going to read these scriptures, and then we're going to go back and talk about them a little bit. But one of the things that I found to be evident, especially when I was saying how I was so afraid that the enemy was going to come and what he was going to look like. And when I read the scripture, it made more sense to me. It says, therefore, submit to God. And I think sometimes we forget that first part because we're quick to say, resist the devil and he will flee. But if you're not submitting to God, the devil ain't going nowhere. So you have to submit to God first. And then resist the devil and he will flee. That's found in James 4:7. It says, therefore, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so why is that important? Amen. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The next scripture is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we have this fleshly body, but we do not wage war according to the flesh, but our weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. So what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, we all know that we live in this fleshly body, but we're spiritual beings. And so because we're spiritual beings, we're not really fighting in the flesh. This stuff is much deeper than that, and that's why you need to practice your scripts to understand. If you don't understand that, there are so many unfortunate Christians that are living fleshly lives and not understanding that we are to live by the spirit, not by the flesh, because the flesh is weak. The spirit is always willing because it's part of God. We're made in his image. Amen. That's not part of the scriptures, but amen. Let's keep going. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, for no weapons formed against you will prosper. I could go on and on and on about that one, because that is one that the enemy, after I had gone through all the things that I've gone through with the whole COVID thing and then just really not being understanding or not understanding why my body wasn't coming back and why it just, it wasn't right. And then when they said that I had cancer over email, are you kidding me? That was one of the scriptures I had to say, no weapons formed against me will prosper. I believed that in my heart. And why did I believe that in my heart? Because of this next scripture, and this is quite a few of them, but this is Ephesians 6, 11 to 17. I had already understood the power of putting on the full armor of God, so that when you stand against the evil schemes of the evil one, our struggle, again, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, saints, I say this often enough, and I hope that it's not repetitious to you, that you don't really see it for what it is. We have to put on our spiritual armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that we will be able to stand our ground. And after we've done everything, we must stand and stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with our feet fitted with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, to take up the shield of faith, which is our extinguisher to the fiery of flaming arrows that the evil one throws, and have on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Saints, I can't stress enough why that spiritual armor is important. I know we eat breakfast, we get up, we move, we know we got to put clothes on before we go. I mean, so some of these things are just automatic. It should be automatic that we pray. What do I say at the end of our broadcast every week? Start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. It is so important because we don't know what we will encounter throughout the day. We don't. And so it could be, you know, foolish of us to believe God's got it and keep it moving. Why would he prepare all of these resources for us if he didn't want us to read them and to recite them and to confess them and to learn our script? It is important that we know our script. Yes, many of us take for granted that God's grace is there and mercy. And what is it? Mercy and grace follow me? Yeah, we take that for granted. But at the same time, we still have to acknowledge that we are acknowledging God for being the great almighty by acknowledging what his worth is. And so we got to put on our armor daily, daily put on your armor. And then the last scripture that we'll focus on tonight is 1 Peter 5 and 8. And it says, be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. The enemy wants to devour us. And how does he devour us? Because he wants our mind, our will, and our emotions. And how does he do that? He does that. He does that by and through deception. Now, for those of you that know me, you know that I love to do definitions. So before we go into real study, I want to make sure that we understand how the enemy comes. First and foremost, he comes through deception. And he comes through deception by first approaching you through a foothold. And so it was interesting, my daughter was looking up the definition for me, and she said, Mommy, this is kind of interesting because this could go both ways. And I said, what do you mean? And so the definition that she gave me, I'm going to read, it says, a place where you can safely put your feet when climbing, a situation in which someone has obtained the power of influence needed to get what is wanted. The most common use of the word foothold today is as a place or a thing that will support a climber's foot as a secure starting position from which further advancement can be made. So from a Greek perspective, the word was is used as a spot, as a place, as a location, a room, a home, position, a track, occasion, opportunity, a locality, a region, or condition. And so when we read these scriptures, we have to understand sometimes how the author portrays them. And so I like that this particular scripture, I mean, this particular definition also gave an insight of what Paul might have thought. And it says, Paul had an insight of how Satan may establish a foothold, is through our thinking from which further the advancements can be made. So again, mind, will, emotion. And so when I looked at this definition about a place where you safely place your feet, secure a starting position from which further advance can be made. Now, that can be taken both ways, as my daughter was alluding to. From an enemy's perspective, it's horrifying because the enemy wants to have a secure starting position in your life, whatever that trigger may be. And so I know my triggers for the most part because I've asked God to reveal my triggers to me so that I can build myself up, so I can work on my script in that area. And so you'll want to work on the scripts in your area. You know the areas where the enemy attacks you most. And most time they use that, I've shared the acronym with Charles Stanley said many years ago, HALT. The enemy comes when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired. And then a girlfriend of mine put an S on the end. She said scared. So HALT. So whenever you have to HALT with something, you pause for a moment because the enemy is roaring like a lion, as the scripture says. You have to understand, what is he trying to do? He is trying to find a secure place in your thinking, in your emotion, or something that you are willing yourself to do. Amen. And so when you think about a foothold, once the enemy has a firm footing, then praise God, that's where he comes into the deception and the strong, and there's a dominance. But on the flip side, what I told my daughter, I said, imagine if we really believe that God said in his word that he would make Satan, he would place Satan under our feet. So if Satan is under our feet, praise God, we can have a secure position on top of him, amen, and understand that we have power and authority over him by not allowing him to get into our mind, will, and emotion, by not allowing him to get a secure footing, because we've been working and perfecting our script, which is our scripture, amen. Okay, so moving along. So that's a foothold. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold basically is a little further. Now that he has gotten your mind, your will, and he's working on your emotions, is where deception really kind of comes in. Because all he does is introduce stuff. As I said a couple weeks ago, maybe even last week, that one of my challenges when I was going through deliverance on really being broken from his chains was, how is it that he knows what I'm going to do? If everybody keeps saying that Satan can't read my mind and that he doesn't have the same power as God, but yet it seems like he presents whatever I'm about to do or what I want to do before me. How does this happen? Well, because the enemy has that he knows his script. How about that? He's perfected his script. He knows that if I present this, most likely if you're weak, you're going to fall for this. He knows if this is your trigger because you talk about it, because, you know, praise God, like I said, he can't read your mind. He doesn't have omnipotent power where he can figure it out. He just watches. And he has demonic, when we talked about the different armies that he has soldiers that are watching diligently, and they're writing and they're reporting. They practice. They got their scripts down. And so if they have their script together, then you better believe, yeah, they know your next step, because you do the same thing over and over again. I know my girlfriend told me the other day, she said, Leah, you like going around this mulberry bush. You just keep going round and round and round, and eventually you're going to figure it out. And I said, you're right. But I'm praying, because I'm trying to perfect my script so that when those triggers come, when that phone rings, when a situation is presented before me, that my first thought is not what the against what the word is for me, but my first response is to remember my script, to remember the scripture that God said to me, that no weapons formed against me will prosper. Amen. That's my script. But if I don't know my script, then praise God, oh, you have cancer. You know, we don't know if we can get it. We may have to take your, you know, your whole stomach because, you know, we just don't know, you know, where it is. And then I get caught up and now I'm forgetting my script and now I'm distraught and now all the other little triggers come in. Well, what did you do that you weren't supposed to be doing? How was the devil able to get in? You do all this praying, you do all this ministry. How was the devil able to get in? What you doing wrong? You ain't praying enough. You see how that train just keeps going? That's the start of the foothold becoming a stronghold. A stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deception. Deception is one of the most primary weapons that the enemy uses because he uses them to build what I call them castles and condominiums and cities and towns in your mind. Because, praise God, that's where he wants to be. He wants to control your thinking. That's why the Bible is always saying how much we are to renew our mind, to remove our thinking, to be focused on what we're actually doing. We're not fighting flesh, because I don't recall fighting cancer. We use that term, but how do I fight cancer? I mean, it's not in front of me. I can't punch it. You know, kind of feels like it's punched me in the gut, praise God, when I'm having pain. But that's flesh. Spirit. We have to focus on who we are really standing firm. In Ephesians 6, we have to stand firm and be at peace and be ready with the peace of the gospel. That's all part of my script. And so if I don't know my script, then amen, I will fall for the faulty thinking patterns. Amen. And then after you become a foothold and a stronghold, now it's a strong man. And so now you're so deceived that you don't even understand that you're being deceived. And so deception basically is an act of making someone believe something that is not true, the act of deceiving someone. And I hate to bring this up, but this is the thing that came to mind. And I don't know this particular person, so I can't say that I'm physically, you know, dismissing this person, but it happened. A minister believed that if he prayed and fasted for 40 days, he could go to the zoo and climb into the lion's thing, and the lions weren't going to bother him. Well, I believe in my heart that sometimes we can believe a thing that is not necessarily the things of God, and that's why our will has to line up with the things of God. And so and I can't say what that gentleman was thinking or how he was thinking, but based on the fruit, I would venture to say, because he had people come watch this act of quote-unquote he thought was his faith, but he was deceived. And he was deceived in believing that he could go into that lion's den and those lions were not going to bother him. Now, what would make you do something like that unless, amen, but that's how strong deception can go, to make us believe that I'm going to buy this car and I know I'm going to be able to pay for it and I don't have no job. I'm just going to believe God's going to make money fall out of this car. It's going to come in the mail. I mean, some things we allow the enemy to really deceive us in such a way that we don't believe the consequences that come from not lining our mind, will, and emotions up with the things of God. It has to be in line with God. We can personally allow ourselves to get so caught up with believing that this man is for me and that he looked at me a certain way, and so I know that's what that means, that he loves me. Or a woman. Deception is real. And sometimes we don't think of it in the way that it comes. That's why it's so important that we have the full armor of God on. Because if we do and you have your helmet, you will think the right things because you'll renew your mind. If you have the belt of truth on, you'll operate in things that are true And then when you know the enemy is coming, I remember this story. This lady told me that that she had a coworker that she was married, and she really liked this delivery person she saw, and so she switched jobs, and she would tell people, she said, "Oh, if I saw him again," she said, "I don't know what I'd do. I might have to leave my husband." Well, wouldn't you know, that delivery guy started making deliveries at her new job. And so she had a decision to make. And so, like I said, the enemy will provide opportunity. And so whether you act on it or not, I mean, trust me, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will if you're not careful. So we know now that as long as we give the devil a foothold, it can develop into a stronghold. And then that stronghold becomes the strong man where, praise God, you got a problem. And then you're really, really lost in deception. And so what can deliver you from this process? Well, the word is called spiritual warfare. And so when we talk about warfare, many times I know I did, because, like I said, I'm scared of the devil and I'm scared of the dark. And so when I heard the word warfare, and they said, you need to be delivered, I thought, oh, Lord, that means I'm going to be, you know, jerking on the ground, and my head's going to spin around, and stuff's going to come out of my mouth, and I'm going to lose control of my body. Praise God. It is amazing, again, what the enemy would use a foothold to make you believe and deceive you into believing that, and so you'll never be delivered because you're afraid of being delivered. Well, now that I have my script, if I foam at the mouth, if I huck and buck, as long as I'm going to be free and free indeed, then whatever I got to do to be delivered, I'm going to go through it so I can be delivered, so that I don't have the enemy constantly deceiving my mind and make me believe things that are not true. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's basically a spiritual battle that's going on in the spiritual world, in the heavenly places, where your spirit man is lining up, and that's why it's so important that we pray, why it's so important that we know our script, because, amen, the angels, we can charge the angels to fight on our behalf to help us to be able to stand tall, because the coolest part of Ephesians 6, when it says stand, how do you fight standing? You got to move or something, but no. God will fight our battles. All we have to do is stand and pray and be watchful. That's it. But we got to make sure we do our part. We have to submit to God. That's why these five scriptures are so important, that you submit to God, that you resist the devil so that he can flee before he even gives you a foothold. But if he does get the foothold, he does get the stronghold, you have to have an understanding of 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, that we don't walk in the flesh, nor do we war against the flesh. These things, praise God, are powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. Remember, it's a stronghold now. You can't bring that down. God has to bring that down. But if there is one, because of Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. It may form, but it won't prosper. And so, yes, they said I had cancer, but it didn't prosper. And so I'm believing, and y'all believe with me, that on Thursday I'll be able to ring the cancer-free bell, praise God, because it didn't overwhelm me, because I didn't give place to the devil. Amen. Some people, that is your testimony, because I can't say what all of our scripts are, but I know my script said that I could overcome those things that the enemy threw at me. And I was able to do that because I understood my script. And so you have to understand your script so that when you go through the spiritual battles, praise God, that you'll know that you're not fighting this war, but you do have a part to play in the battle. You have to be in the word. You have to pray. And then you have to do the things that God has called you to do. Many of us don't want to be disciplined and do the things that God has called us to do. Eat better. Go to bed at night. Stop taking so many medications that God ain't necessarily told you to take. Amen. But you take them because you think they make you feel good. I have had to remove myself from a lot of the pain medicines that I was on because a girlfriend told me months ago, And I told her recently, I said, you know, you witnessed to me. And you was just talking, but you witnessed to me. And you said, I can't let my handicap me. And I thought, wow, have I been doing that, Lord? Have I been doing that, taking sleep agents and pain medicine every night because I think I have to have it, and I'm not even yielding this to you, but I'm yielded to appeal, and I'm yielded to, now I'm not telling y'all to not take your medicine. Amen. God told you to take your medicine, you take your medicine. But I'm saying for me, that sometimes I didn't need it necessarily, but the enemy was using it because I'm learning now that a lot of the medications that I was taking were having side effects that were causing other problems. And then I would take medicine for this, and then now my body's confused. So the more that I take myself off of that stuff that's not necessarily necessary for me, praise God, I can actually walk out my script. Amen. So now the enemy is, he knows again what our triggers are. And so if we don't understand our script and how it relates to us, again, we're so busy on making sure that we look at other people's lives and judging our lives on other people, and we can't do that. Everybody has their own script, so you have to stick to your own script. And so when you know that you are under attack from the enemy, it is your job to go to the Word and find out what your script is. One of the things that I think I learned early enough that it has helped me through the years of me going through some challenges with my health is that I had to get scripture memory memorized in my heart so that I would not sin against it. Had I not had enough Word in me prior to going through these things that I've gone through to be able to call out the scriptures, then amen, I probably would have a condominium of a lot of things going on in my life because I've been under attack for a while. And I understand that the attacks are to prevent me from sharing the gospel. I get that now. And so, I have to make sure that I do what is necessary to keep myself built up in the Word. So I got to practice my script. I have to work on it diligently. Many of us don't want to be disciplined in our scripts. We don't want to learn the lines. Why? If you know it's going to help you, then you got to find a way to be to allow the belt of truth to get in you to understand the only way that I'm going to come from under this cloud that the enemy has over me is that I submit to God, resist the devil so that he can flee. Amen. That would be a scripture I would memorize. Submit to God. And then the coolest thing about my God is that he loves for us to quote his word perfectly, or in the way that it was designed. You know, and many times people say, you can't add, can't take nothing away. Trust. When you're hurting and you haven't memorized all that, Jesus is enough. And so trust me, God understands. Now, I suggest that you work on your scripture and that you get it to and perfect it to the way that it was written. But whatever you need, I believe in that hour of power, what God is, Lord, I'm submitting to you. I need for you to get the devil up off of me. You said in your word that if I yield to you, if I pray to you, if I come to you, that you will make him flee. Now, that is not exactly how James 4:7 says, but it's enough that the devil knows that I mean that with my heart, and God knows that I mean that with my heart. You better believe Satan's going to be getting up off of me, because I know enough of my script that the enemy has to flee. Because I have my script together, that I am putting on the full armor of God so that I can stand against the schemes of the enemy. Now, I may not have all those words together when the enemy's on attack, but I do know, Lord, I'm standing on your word, and you said in your word that if I stand on you, then the schemes of the enemy, praise God, has to flee. Because I know that I can't fight nothing. I can't do nothing in my own will, because this has nothing to do with my flesh. This is all rulers and authorities and all that other stuff that you have in that scripture that I ain't got no control over. I think sometimes we make God so deep that we forget that he loves us enough. Again, I love the fact that God gives us analogies and gives us visuals. Our children are the best ones. are the best ones. And even if you don't have children, you have loved ones enough that you know that if they come to you and say, I'm hungry, that you don't have to go and make a full course meal. A piece of bread, peanut butter, and jelly will be plenty. It's not a full course meal, but it's enough to sustain them. If you know enough of your script, it will sustain you. But if you don't know your script because it's in the back of your trunk or in the shelf collecting dust or you don't even know where it is, these phones are a gift because Google it. Google it. Write down your scriptures that you need. I'm giving you five. But you don't, these may not be the five you need, praise God, because, again, my favorite, ultimate favorite, is he's the vine, I'm a branch. Because so long I tried to be the vine and tried to make him the branch because I wanted it to go my way. I wanted it to do it how I thought it should be done. I thought that I could attack the devil or not allow him to bother me by doing what I thought was best. No, ma'am, it don't work that way. Or no, sir, you have to follow God's script. He gave you a script, and he wants you to follow it. But you can't know the script if you're not going to read it. You got to get into your script, and that is your scripture. Amen? Okay, so I said I was going to talk a little bit about these scriptures, so let me talk a little bit about these scriptures. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Of course, I've kind of explained that to no end, but you want to make sure that you understand that we can't go forward on our own. I know that when you know things happen, you lose your job, or people talk about you, or people are plotting and planning against you. It's easy for you to come up with a plan of action. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's happened before. But no, submit to God first. And the devil will resist you. My daughter, bless her heart, didn't make the volleyball team. And I was fire hot mad because I know my baby got skills. And I know she deserved to be on the team that she tried out for. And she didn't make it. And so I was hot and I was mad and I was writing letters and I was going to say this and I was practicing what I was going to say. And the Holy Spirit was, if you hold your peace and let me fight your battle, victory will be yours. Now, that's a song, amen, but still applies. And that's exactly what he did. It was called just a text message. Which one you want to do? You want to do this? You want? If you trust God, I promise you, don't go before him. Allow him to do what he needs to do. Amen. The next scripture was 2 Corinthians 10:5-5. Again, we don't walk in the flesh. And we don't wage war against the flesh. Our weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down strongholds. I don't think a spoon or a fork or a knife or a gun is going to knock down Satan. Those are our weapons. Those are our fleshly weapons. We need the weapons that God uses. What are God's weapons? The sword of the spirit. What's your spirit? The word. I can't stress it enough. You got to make sure that you are praying, that you are in the word. And then the thing that I think is most important is the thing that God gave us, that if we take every thought captive, anything that tries to rise itself against the things of God, cancer, diabetes, all these other, what people are saying, no, Lord, I'm taking this medicine, but I'm taking it because I'm believing that you're going to take away the side effects and you're going to let it be used for the purposes of what you designed it for. And if it's not, Father, then show me what I need to be doing differently. I take my medicine and keep it moving. Well, praise God. Eventually, God starts showing me, well, Leah, you probably should stop eating so many salty foods. And if you stop eating so many salty foods, maybe you can come off your medicine because I'm being obedient. So when things come to you, no, Leah, you need to go on. Now, put some more salt on that. They don't taste good. Put some more salt on it. You got the seasoning that got all the three flavors in there. Use that seasoning. No, take those thoughts. Now, I'm making that simple. But, I mean, we have some big issues that we have. We got to bring those things, if they're not lining up with the things of God, to bring those thoughts captive and cast them down because God will tear down those strongholds. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Amen. So, what are those weapons that are formed against you? If we're not fighting flesh, they can't harm you. But you got to trust God and to make sure that you understand that if you're in Him, they won't prosper. They may form, but they won't prosper. And so, again, that comes with your mind. And you got to know where the enemy is going to strike and where your triggers are. And so when you know those things in advance, then you can have the right scriptures to make sure that you have yourself armed up. And that was with the next set of scriptures, Ephesians 6:11-17. That you have to make sure that you put on the full armor of God. I try not to say things over and over again that are redundant, but amen. Each week, I have to talk about the spiritual armor. You have to put on the helmet of salvation. You have to thank God that He made you His child. You have to put on the breastplate of righteousness, because you need to know what in my heart is not right, Father, so that I can always be in the righteousness of You. Father, when I put that belt of truth on, help me be true to myself and be true to You. And if I'm true to You and I'm true to myself, praise God, the enemy can't throw nothing at me that, amen, that You haven't allowed for him to throw at me. And if he does, praise God, again, back to my other scripture, no weapons formed against us is going to prosper anyway. Amen. And keep it moving. Make sure that you stand firm and be prepared and be alert in the gospel of peace. Amen. And intercede for other people. You don't keep all this information to yourself. You share it. And then your shield of faith reminds you of the victory, reminds you of the authority, and then the power that you have and just standing in the will of God. Amen. And then the sword of the Spirit is your script. Amen. You gotta use your script. You got to. And then last but not least was 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary prowls around like a lion seeking whom he can devour. Now, I know I only have a few more minutes. You know I'm always got a whole lot to say. But I am out of time, not out of talk, but I'm out of time. But I really want to make sure that we understand what this sober-minded means. Sober-minded, a lot of people take that to drinking. And that necessarily has to do with drinking. I mean, sober is sober. But it means not being having over anxieties of certain things. I mean, to have your mind on the things of God. Not to have your mind so bogged down in doubt and worry and grief and, you know, what's going to happen here and what ain't going to happen. And if I go here, this will happen. If I go there, that'll happen. No. If God is in control, then you have to yield everything to God. And when the scripture we talked about, when we cast those things that try to exalt themselves about the knowledge of God, those things that the enemy whispers at you, cast that stuff down so you can be sober-minded. Now, here the last couple of days, I've been extremely exhausted. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know why I can't seem to get rest. And it's like, well, what you thinking about? Well, what are you watching in the middle of the night that got you, you know, you're not sober-minded. You're not being watchful. The enemy tried to grab you with cancer, but he couldn't. He tried to get you with COVID, but he couldn't. So he's roaring. What is the next area that he can attack you in? And that's why you're restless. You need to be praying. You need to be doing what I called you to do. You need to get back in your script. You need to read your script. You need to cover your mind, cover your heart, cover all the things, the portals that you know that the enemy normally attacks you in, and be sober-minded so that you can rest. So that you can sleep and rest in me. Saints, I promise you, it is a glorious and a joyful thing to know that you are a King's kid. And I know that through and through and through that I'm a King's kid. And so I can't allow a whole lot of stuff bother me. I just can't, because I've seen him do too much for me. And so I can't get bogged down because somebody said something about me. Now, it does bother me when you mess with my children. But I got to even give that to God. I can't. I got to make sure that I'm reading the script completely so that I don't have any triggers exposed to the enemy so that he can create a foothold, which will lead to a stronghold, which will develop condominiums in my mind and in my heart and my will and my emotions, that the enemy can deceive me to the point where I don't even trust and believe God. Are you kidding me? No, ma'am. And you sir, we got to do what God has called us to do. We got to work on our script. We got to make sure that we are spiritually speaking over our heart and our mind the things of God. Whatever it is that you're toiling with, Google it. Fear, cussing, drinking, fornicating, whatever it is, give it to God. Find you some scriptures and learn your script. I promise you, he will deliver you and he will set you free from all of it because he doesn't want us to be bogged down and to be anxious for nothing. No, we're supposed to walk in joy and have an abundant life, and he has a plan to prosper us and give us hope. Are you kidding me? No, ma'am. I'm not doing that no more. I got my script, and I have it in hand. I used to try to rely on my mind, but no, I'm going to put that script, I'm going to keep it in my hand and keep it constantly before me so that I don't get caught up anymore thinking that in my own self that I know enough scripture because that's enough. No, learn more. Get more of the things that God needs for you to have so that you can move to the next level in the things of him. Amen. Well, praise God. I can keep going and keep going and keep going. I get so excited when I talk about the things of God, especially when I'm definitely talking about things that I'm free from the enemy and free indeed in some of these things. Amen. And I want you to be free too. And so, praise God. Tune in again next week and we'll talk about another topic that God has placed on our hearts for us to grow, for us to be encouraged and empowered, and then for us to educate ourselves so that we can be better at perfecting our script. Amen. Well, now, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song because every praise belongs to God, and it does. And so we want to make sure that we acknowledge granny because she's always listening. And so you're my number one fan, so I always want to make sure I dedicate this song to you as well as to my nieces and nephews. And to my nephews that may be listening, baby, you're going to heal in the name of Jesus. You keep your head up and you keep pushing in the things of God. And God is a deliverer, and he heals us all from all things. Colds. I mean, amen. Cancer. Give it to God. Every praise belongs to him. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Leah Killington, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Make sure you tune in again next week. And until then, make sure you start every day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Let me hear the worshipers! Yeah.